How many have their Bible or their Bible device, whichever you choose to use? If you have either or today, let's start by looking at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. And I'm going to read four or five verse passages quickly, somewhat quickly, and we're going to try to see if there's a common thread here, a common denominator that all of these verses are sharing with the reader, okay? So let's find out what the Bible has to say to us here this morning. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, and by the way, I'm reading from the New King James, unless otherwise indicated, okay? As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Okay, as newborn babes. So Peter is writing to a group of new Christians, and he calls them newborn babes. Okay, the Bible talks about, you know, there is an analogy in Scripture about, you know, physical growth and spiritual growth. Okay, just like when babies are born physically, okay, we call them a newborn child. And spiritually, when someone accepts Jesus, they're called a newborn babe in Christ. And so he addresses them here and says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So the object here is growth. Okay, God wants right from the beginning the babies to understand the importance of growing up, and that the growth comes through a desire to feed or to, in this case, drink, because it says desire the pure milk of the word. Drink the pure milk of the word, which is the word of God. That will help you to grow. And right from the beginning, God wants the babies in Christ to understand the necessity for this. Okay? That he doesn't want people to remain babies from the time they get saved. I'm sorry to say, most churches are full of babies, spiritually speaking. They never grow up. They get saved, and thank God for that part, but they never grow beyond that, okay? So God wants us to desire the word of God that we as babies will grow and begin to grow. Let's look at a second passage. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's look there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 3, okay? As I open up my water bottle here. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1 and verse 3. Paul writes to the Thessalonian church, and he says in the third verse, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other." Okay, notice again, he's commending them because their faith is growing exceedingly, as well as the love that they have. It's abounding towards each other, but also he takes note of the fact that their faith is growing. So he commends them for this. He says, good job. You're on the right track. Your faith is growing. So again, the common thread here is the issue of growth, growing in their faith. Okay, look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19. Let's go to a third reference. Okay, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 19. This is Paul's message to the church at Colossae. And he says to them in the second chapter and the 19th verse, "Not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God." Notice the theme here again is growth. He wants them to be nourished. He wants their joints and ligaments knit together as they grow with an increase that comes from God. Once again, the theme here is the importance of spiritual growth. God wants Christians to grow up. Okay? He doesn't want them to stay babies, to live like babies and act like babies and think like babies from the time they get saved. Okay, then another one, 1 Timothy 4:6. I'm taking time here. I'm going somewhere with all this. You'll find out where in just a minute. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6. This is Paul's message to Timothy, his protege, his son in the faith, okay? And here's what he says to Timothy. "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Okay? Don't let people tell you that we can believe any old thing out there. Notice, he's told to follow, carefully follow certain doctrines. Carefully follow them. Okay? Listen, he tells Timothy, I want you to be nourished in the words of faith. Not just words, but words of faith. There's a big difference between words and words of faith. The words of faith are what will nourish us. Okay? If we're talking about growth, we need to talk about nourishment, do we not? You can't grow without nourishing yourself. Physically, you can't grow unless you nourish your body with the proper foods and the proper diet. You know, malnourishment and all this stuff. You get sick and die. Spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. You have to nourish your spirit man with the right kind of food, the proper kind of food. And that is the Word of God. First, it's milk when you're a baby. And then as you begin to grow, you can translate or transform or move on up to the meat of the Word. Something more meaty than just what you started out with when you were a babe in Christ. Okay? So, again, all of these verses talk to us about the importance of spiritual growth because we are spirits living in bodies, and our spirits need to be nourished in order for them to grow. Listen, you can't see me. You can only see the suitcase I'm living in. My body is my suitcase. It's my earth suit. I'm living inside of this thing. Okay? When a husband and wife get together and conceive a child, they're doing the physical part. God does the spiritual part. He's the father of spirits. We are not the father of spirits. Amen? We're the father and the mother of physical bodies, if you care to look at it that way. Okay? We do our part and God does his. Okay? You can't see me. You can only see the body that I'm living in. When this dies, I don't die. I go home. Okay? You don't die. When you die, you go on home. Okay, your body is buried, but you're not buried. The cemetery is full of headstones where there is nobody there. They're either up or they're either down, depending upon the choices they made in their life. When you die physically, you leave your body behind, and you go up if Jesus is your Lord, and you go down if he isn't. And that's it. And whichever direction you go, you're going forever. One of the greatest revelations I received early on in my walk with Christ was the word eternity. In my opinion, and Gertrude and the others, Jerry and Jane and Sheila and all of those that were there, they can see there's a big banner on the back wall of our conference center, and the word eternity is there. It's as big as this wall here. Eternity. With one verse underneath, 2 Corinthians 4:18, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Because the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Okay? And I'm well persuaded that we Christians would be well to meditate on the word eternity, to back up from our lives and understand that we're just passing through down here. That beyond all of this is an eternal heaven or an eternal hell for everybody, depending upon the choices we make. So I'm a spirit living in a body. My responsibility physically is to take care of my body because, you know, if the body doesn't work right, I can't fulfill the Great Commission. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Sick people can't go into all the world and preach the gospel because they're sick. That's the main reason why God wants people healed. Aside from the fact he loves them and doesn't want them to go through the pain of sickness and disease, of course. But deeper than that, he wants people healthy to travel and to preach and to be unencumbered with physical issues in fulfilling the Great Commission. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
Okay. So physically, I need to take care of myself. Spiritually, I need to take care of myself. I need to nourish myself with the spiritual food that God gives, which is the Word of God. First as a babe in Christ, and later as I grow an adolescent and on into spiritual adulthood and then to a place where God can use me or use me in whatever way he sees fit, okay? So what I want to do is now spend the, let me look at one more passage. Look at Acts chapter 6 before we get to where we're really going to go. Acts chapter 6 and verse number 4. We have time. We have four services, so we're not going to rush. We're just going to let God take us where he wants us to go at the pace he wants for us to follow. Acts 6 and verse 4. This was the key to the success of the early church and the leadership of the early church, right here, this one verse, okay? There were many distractions, and they talk about those in the first three verses, but then verse 4, they say, okay, we will give ourselves. Notice, we give ourselves continually. That's a great statement. We give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Notice, continually give yourself. The Bible does not wake you up in the morning and slap you upside the head and say, read me. You have to make the decision to continually put it before you and feed yourself with it. Just like food doesn't jump out of the refrigerator, cook itself, and throw itself into your mouth. You have to prepare all of this. You have to spend time doing these things. You have to go to the store. You have to buy the groceries. You have to bring it all home. You got to store it in the ref or in the cabinet, you know, the closet, you know, whatever, the cupboard. And then you got to pull it all out and put it all together and cook it before you can eat it. Amen? Spiritually, it's something similar to that. Okay, listen. The Bible is the way, the food that God has ordained for us to feed upon, but we have to decide to give ourselves continually to it. If you're too busy for this, you're too busy. You got to understand that we are in war. This is a war. Okay? An eternal war for the souls of men. This is not a war for nationalities or cultures or nations or creeds or any of this. It is a war for the souls of men. No matter where that soul is, the devil wants to damn it and God wants to save it. That's it. Okay? If you just keep this stuff in front of you, you can avoid all the peripheral noise out there that tries to distract us in all these different directions and get us over into areas where we're not productive for God. We're just fighting and, you know, shouting at each other. Can anyone say amen?
Amen?
So, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word because that's what gets us to a place of spiritual nourishment and sharpness in the things of God so that when he wants to use us, he can. How many would agree with me? He wants to use everybody, but he's not able to use everybody. But he would like to, but he can't because most of us are not strong enough to be used the way he wants to use us, because we're not doing things like this. We're not giving ourselves continually to anything that would feed our spirit man and keep us sharp before the things of God. In these last days, these are the last of the last days. Would you agree?
Yes.
The last of the last days. Jesus could return at any moment. As far as I'm concerned, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I mean, you know, listen, we're surrounded by clowns, buffoons, and idiots, and many of them are disguised as Christians. And I'd just as soon leave and go on home to be with Jesus. But, as Paul said, for the sake of you meaning the people he reached out to, because of you know, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. He said, I'd rather go on home to be with Jesus. For me, that'd be far better, but you need help. So I'm going to stick around because you need the help that I'm commissioned to give to you. So let's sit down and study the Bible together, you know, the Bible, like that. Okay, listen, you got to know. We have to be aware of the times in which we live. You know, back in the 80s and the 90s, there was all this talk about the 100-fold return and the increased seminars and all of this stuff, you know, and we all measured our success by the kind of car we drove and the kind of suit we had on. And, you know, it was like a fashion show every time you went to church. You know, we're so beyond that stuff. This is now 2018, and the devil has uncovered himself. I mean, he's not hiding anymore. He's just using people, and they're just coming flat out and saying, we hate Christians, we hate Israel, we hate anything that has to do with Jesus and God, and we're coming after you. This is not a world where timidity can anymore be accepted. You better know some things about who you are in Christ, or you'll get run over. You will be run over. And I'm not going to be run over. I'm going to finish the race I started to run. And when I cross that finish line, I'm going to hear Jesus say to me, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to hear.
Amen.
Instead of just what many Christians are going to hear, which is just, well. Where'd you disappear to for 30 years, turkey? You know, and then you're going to give them all these excuses why you got offended, why you left church, why you quit reading your Bible, you know, because someone, you know, took advantage of you and stole some money from you and whatever else. You know, listen, we're all works in progress. Are we not?
Yes.
Nobody has arrived. All right. Paul had issues. Peter had issues. They all had issues. The only one who was issueless was Jesus.
Yes.
He did it perfect from start to finish, which I find amazing. Amazing. Just that fact alone is enough for me to worship him forever. Are you kidding? 33 and a third years on this planet and never made one mistake. He had no wiggle room. There was no blood on a mercy seat for him where we can go to and say, Father, forgive me. He didn't have that luxury. He was it. You talk about pressure and stress, knowing that you're the savior of the human race, and if you fail, we all go to hell forever. And he didn't make one mistake for 33 years plus with the devil knowing who he was. Right from the River Jordan, he knew who this man was. And he pulled out all the stops to try. Jesus, the Bible says, was tempted in all points like we, yet without sin. What an accomplishment. Really. I love it. Amen. I follow him, if for no other reason, for that. Praise the Lord. I mean, many times he would raise his eyes to heaven and say, how long must I be with them? Dear God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Praise the Lord. I got a staff. I know what I'm talking about when he's talking about that. You know, how long do I have to put up with these clowns? Praise the Lord. All right. Let's go to Psalms 37. Let's spend the remainder of our time this morning here and probably tonight too, because this psalm is powerful and it is prophetic. Psalms 37. We're going to read a good portion of the psalm both today and tonight. We're going to see what this psalm tells us about the importance of growth, the importance of spiritual maturity, the importance of being aware of the times in which we live and not being distracted with all the noise out there that seeks to take us away from our primary purpose for being here, which is to represent Jesus and to share the gospel with everybody. Amen. To be no respecter of persons, no issues, none of that, okay? All right, let's begin in verse 1. Psalms 37 in the first verse. And we're going to read a few verses, probably down to verse 12, so you read along with me as I read from my device up here, okay? Verse 1, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. Praise the Lord. In those 10 verses, God tells the reader not to worry 3 times. The word fret, how many know what the word fret means? Fret means worry. If I'm telling you not to fret, I'm telling you not to worry. We don't use the word fret much anymore. It's not, you know, a word we use in everyday conversation, but it does mean to worry. If I'm telling you don't fret, I'm telling you not to worry. And that's what the reader's being told 3 times in those 11 verses. Verse 1, look, verse 1, he starts right out. He says, look, don't fret because of. He tells you what not to fret about. Don't fret because of evildoers. And don't be envious of the workers of iniquity. Okay, evildoers and workers of iniquity. Let's go down to verse number 7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret, we may say, do not worry, because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Now, how many would agree with me that those kinds of people are everywhere? Yes. people bringing wicked schemes to pass, evildoers, workers of iniquity. When someone walks into a high school with a weapon and starts shooting innocent people, students and faculty, those are evildoers doing wicked things. As an example, that's just one of many I could give. That's just one example. That kind of stuff is all around us, and it's going to get worse. Do you understand that? Lawlessness will continue to rise, but as it rises, simultaneously will the body of Christ rise, and we will shine brighter and brighter in the midst of a darker and a darker world. Amen. We don't need to be worried about it. He's telling us, don't worry about the evildoers. They're going to continue doing evil things. Okay, they're not going to stop. You know, as the world continues to revolve downward and downward and downward, and as the return of Jesus draws closer and closer, this sort of stuff's going to increase. It's not going to decrease. We're going to see lawlessness become so commonplace, people accept it as an everyday way of living anymore. You see it happening in this country, as well as in other countries too. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
Where the rule of law doesn't matter anymore. People just do what they want to go do. Okay? And if you get in the way, they'll just kill you and throw you to the side and keep on moving. That's where we're going. Okay? You know, we used to talk about the tribulation back in the early 80s, the tribulation period, about all the hell that's going to be on earth. We had no idea. Now, you know, 48 years, 38 years later, whatever it is now, you know, we see the world. There was no internet back then. There was no social media. Fax machines weren't even invented back when we were talking about this stuff. I can remember when I got my first fax machine. It took 3 days to send one piece of paper. It was like, what's this? You know. Anyway, I mean, you know, now what? We pick up a phone this size and call someone on the other side of the planet in a matter of 30 seconds. You're talking to someone in Asia or Europe or South America. This is where we are. But at the same time, as all this technology has arisen, so has evil. Okay? As I said a few minutes ago, there's a lot of noise out there. There are plenty of people who hate Jesus, who hate Israel, who hate Christianity, who hate churches like this one, and they're not ashamed to tell you anymore. They're not ashamed to tell you we're coming after you. We're going to shut you down, shut your churches down, shut you up. Amen. What's the Bible tell us? Don't worry about it. What did Jesus say? The gates of hell will not prevail against my church. They can huff and puff, honey. They will never blow this house down because of who we represent. We're not going anywhere. Amen. And it's about time the body of Christ wakes up and gets up in people's faces and tells people the truth, no matter what is the response.
Amen.
Well, they don't like me. Listen, don't be so concerned about offending people. You end up offending God.
Amen.
I'm not going to answer to people. I'm going to answer to God someday for the life I've lived.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Look at verse number 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Now see, in context, the anger he's telling us to cease from is the anger toward the evildoers. Okay? We should be angry. There is a godly anger. I'm very angry at the devil. I hate his guts, and I'm going after him, and I let him know. I tell him, I'm going to make you suffer for coming after my family. I'm going to make you pay for trying to shut my ministry down. I'm going to make you pay for trying to make me sick. You understand? Sit down. I'm going to worship the Lord for about 45 minutes, and you sit there and listen. Yeah, well, you know. Amen. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of you. You know, he walks around as a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion. He walks around as one. He is the toothless wonder. Jesus pulled all his teeth. Toothless lion. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Why? Don't fret. It only causes harm. Harm to who? The worrier. The worrier. Not to the evildoer. He's going to continue doing evil things. The workers of iniquity are going to continue doing evil things. Okay? They're not going to stop. But at the same time, we're not going to worry about it. Okay? No one's shutting this church down. Your church or anybody else's church. Who knows who they are in Christ? No one's shutting this missionary down. You know, well, like I said a few minutes ago, we travel around. I'm armed. Okay? Part of the reason why I joined the military is because it gave me the legal right in a foreign country to carry a firearm. I carry one everywhere I go. I wake up in the morning and I put my sidearm on like ladies put on their lipstick. I don't leave the house without it. Maybe you're not in the lipstick, but listen. The point is, you know, women and makeup and all this stuff, please. I'm for anything that helps. Put on whatever helps. Praise the Lord. I'm all for it. Amen. I have no issues. Point is, you know, in the Philippines, you know, we travel with armed escorts sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, okay? I don't tell the tour group members, you know, unless they ask, but I'm always armed, always, okay? Never leave that, I'm inside the compound, I'm armed, and I never leave the compound without my sidearm, amen? And I know how to use it, okay? I'm just, you know, just flashing it around, hey, check what I got, you know? No, I know what I got, and I know what it's there for. Okay, my faith is in God, but I'm not stupid enough, you know, not to take advantage of the open doors he provides. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You're not shutting me down, devil. You can tell him the same thing. You're not shutting me down. You're not making me sick. I got a long way to go. My race is not finished. Yeah, but the doctor says, well, the doctor doesn't know Jesus. Maybe he's a good person, trying his best, but doctors are limited. They can only practice medicine. Amen. And they're practicing on us. Have you found that out? Yes. They're practicing. And we get to, you know, be the brunt of what they learn or what they find out doesn't work as much as what they find out does. You know, don't you love those 60-second commercials with all the, you know, I got to tell you, someone is in a lab basement somewhere just coming up with these weird names for the drugs they invent. Who comes up with these names? You know, I got one, Shazamazan. If I was in charge of naming something, I'd name it Shazamazan. You know, and, you know, you got this 60-second commercial about what Shazamazan can do. Let's say you've got, you know, inner ear wax and you got to get rid of it and, you know, nothing's helping. So, you know, take Shazamazan because that's doctor recommended. You know, okay. So for the first 20 seconds or so, you know, it's all the wonderful things that Shazamazan can do for you. The next 40 seconds is all the side effects where the guy's talking so fast you can't hear what he's actually saying because the list is so long of the side effects. It's like one time, one of the side effects, I laughed out loud when I heard it. One of the side effects was death. Excuse me. You know, consult your physician immediately if you happen to be dead. Yeah. Consult your physician immediately if you happen to notice you're growing horns at the top of your head or a tail from behind. Yeah. Well, Jesus doesn't practice anything. He heals people. Period. No side effects, nothing. Praise the Lord. Cease from anger and forsake the wrath. Don't fret. It only causes harm. Why? Because of verse 9. Evildoers shall be cut off. Those who wait on the Lord, they're going to inherit the earth. That's us. We're waiting on the Lord. And the Bible says, do it patiently. Amen. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Rest. Chill. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Hey, come on. He said, learn from me. You know, you talk about someone who had pressure, like I said a few minutes ago, there's Jesus with the whole human race on the edge. If he fails, you know, by the way, he was tempted at all points. And if he didn't have the capacity to fail, it wouldn't be a temptation. You know, to be tempted means there is the possibility that you could fail. Amen. Because if it wasn't that way, the devil could claim foul. Okay. He was tempted at all points. The Bible calls him the last Adam, not the second Adam, the last Adam. The first Adam was the one that ate the fruit and got us into this mess. Now the last Adam came along and fixed that forever and forever. Praise the Lord. No one ever has to go to the cross again. No one ever has to pay for sins because he did it once for everybody for all time. Glory to God. Amen. So, let's look at this for just a few minutes. Remember now, we read all those verses at the beginning talking about the importance of spiritual growth and the need for spiritual nourishment and that the nourishment comes from the Word of God. Okay? Now, when you talk, we sang about it, you know, he'll never let me down. I know he'll never let me down. What are we singing really? What verse 3 tells us. Look here. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good and dwell in the land and feed. on his what? The reason we know he'll never let us down is because he's faithful never to let us down. And when we talk about walking by faith and not by sight, what are we really exercising our faith in? Really? His faithfulness. We're standing on a promise. Let's say we're sick and by the stripes of Jesus, we're healed. That's what the Bible promises us. If we stand in faith, we can throw this thing out of our body by the power of God and faith and all of this. Okay, great. I got it. But what are we really saying when we say by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed? We're saying by that promise, I know God's going to be faithful to uphold that word in my life when I stand on that word for my healing. No matter what the doctor says, no matter what the symptoms may be, terminal or otherwise. Amen? And I don't care what you may be sitting here with this morning. I got news for you. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. Amen. So I'm going to stand on that with you. If you stand on that with him, then you're going to be healed because you were. If you were, you are. Amen. Well, I got symptoms. We all got symptoms, just different symptoms. Some of us are smart. Some of us aren't. Some of us are sick. Some of us are healthy. We all got symptoms of something. The point is, we're all works in progress, and there's always a Bible promise to cover it. Amen. Always. Amen. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's nourish ourselves on his faithfulness. Feed on that, not his unfaithfulness, not the unfaithfulness of men who break promises, make them and break them. But no, in this realm, we are using our faith upon promises that we know are good because of who gave the promise. God. Amen. He exalts his word, the Bible says, above his own name. Why? Because if your word is no good, your name is no good. How many know that to be true? If you're a chronic liar and everybody knows it, they don't care what you say about what I promise to do and what I promise I won't do because they know you're a liar. Okay, so your word's no good, your name's no good. But if your word's good, then your name's good. And as far as God's concerned, he exalts his name, his word above his own name, because without that, the name doesn't mean anything. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about evildoers doing evil things. Relax. God's got your back. Amen. You're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. We have work to do for Jesus. Amen. They can threaten us. They can tell us, ISIS, they come along in the Philippines. We're going to wipe you guys out. No, you're not either. I got news for you. We're going to wipe you out. You know who's leaving? You. We're not leaving. We got a work to do for God. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You're the one in trouble, Turkey, not me. Amen. I mean, listen, we've had bullets fly by when I'm preaching up on the stage. We've had bullets whiz by. We've had Muslim imams jump up on the stage with it wasn't a knife. It's not as dramatic as a knife. It was actually a Bic pen that he took the cartridge out and filed down the plastic cartridge that the ink thing sits in there. He filed it down so it was a point. He jumps up on the stage and comes at me with that, trying to stab me in the middle of my message. Can you imagine? I guess he didn't receive. I'm just sensing a little bit of resistance here. What do you think? Well, you can't let that stuff deter you. You can't let that stuff intimidate you. Amen? Well, what'd you do? I backed him right off the stage. That little Bic pen was about 3 inches from my stomach. He's got it like this. He's got raging eyes, screaming. I said, get off the stage. Who are you? Anyway, and I just backed him right off the stage. He fell off backwards. You're not taking us out. We're taking you out. I got news. This one witch doctor, bless her heart. Well, maybe not, but maybe we won't bless her heart. We'll just leave her the way she is, unblessed. Years ago, we did a crusade in General Santos City, far to the south, where, the tour group people don't go. It's a 12-hour drive. Anyway, we did this crusade, and there were great miracles taking place. And this witch doctor, this young girl, I'd say she was about 23, 24 years old, like that, young girl. And she's going to come along and wreck the meeting. That's what she thinks. So we had built a wooden platform that I'm standing on, about as high as maybe this pulpit, like that, about up like this. And there were some wooden steps that you went up on to get up on this little creaky old platform, you know, and I'm preaching the gospel, and there's a crowd of about 400 people there, about 400 folks, I would guess, and we're preaching the gospel. And this lady comes along, and right in the front, she starts putting spells on people. Right there in the middle of the meeting, starts putting spells on people and speaking to the clouds and calling rain down, you know, calling storms to form and rain to come and to disrupt the meetings, you know. And we were there, and you know, we were working with volunteers. You know, this was early on, so I didn't have my own team with me. They would know what to do now. But at that time, I was just working on my own with a group of local church folks that wanted to help but didn't really know too much. I didn't have a chance to brief them and help them understand what they were responsible to do. Anyway, they didn't know what to do. They kind of stood there with this blank look on their face, like, what are we going to do now? Because when she's putting spells on people, people are starting to run away because they know who she is. Okay, they're starting to disperse. You can't let that happen. So, and the ushers, the ministry helps, they don't know what to do. So it's all on me. So I prayed, you know, silently to myself. I said, what do I do? He said, take care of this now. That was the answer. Take care of this now. Okay. So, you know, she got up on the stage. You know, what happened was we were singing. I forgot this part. The singers had finished singing. There were microphones up there. And they had sat down. And in between me getting up with the microphone and my interpreter with his microphone, she jumped up on the stage, ran up on the stage, and grabbed the microphone, one of them. And that's how she started putting spells on the people. I forgot that part. So I'm behind, okay? So she's facing the crowd with the microphone in her hand, putting spells on people. So the Lord said, deal with this now. So, okay. So I walked up from behind. She couldn't see me. She didn't see me. I walked up from behind, grabbed her by her shoulder blades, spun her around so she's looking right at me, like this close. Okay, took the microphone out of her hand, tossed it off to somebody, grabbed her by the front of her blouse, lifted her up, and threw her off the stage. Well, that wasn't very spiritual. You're right. But it was extremely effective. Yep. We never saw old Honey Buns again for the rest of the crusade. No. She flew down in a cloud of dust with this little whimper, you know, and disappeared. We never saw her for the rest of the meeting. I can't imagine why. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. We are who we are. You got to get up in people's faces from time to time. You don't have to be rude about it, but you can't compromise the truth. You can't compromise the truth. You know, you can't water it down. Just because people don't like it doesn't change it. You know, I tell people, listen, you're going up or you're going down. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. You choose. Well, I don't believe that. Well, go to hell. That's where you're going. Well, somebody might be offended. They're already offended. They're a friend of the moment you started talking about Jesus. You know, your neighbors already think you're nuts if you go to a church like this anyhow. So don't worry about it. Just please Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Don't worry about the naysayers, those who threaten to shut us down. You know, we're going to wipe out Israel. They've been trying to wipe out Israel. Do you understand? For thousands of years, they'll never do it. That is God. Those are God's people. That's God's country. He has a covenant with them, and they are not going anywhere. Study your history. All of them that said, we're going to wipe you out. Oh, yeah, really? Where are you? Where are you now? They're still here. How about you? You know, they're not going anywhere. We're gonna shut the church down. No, you're not either. Okay? Ignore the ignorant idiots. Follow the example that God gives. Look with me at verse 12. Verse 12, Psalms 37, verse 12. The wicked plots against the just. Well, there you go. You know, they plot against us. They look for ways to try to bring us down. They gather together in the secret places and come up with plans and procedures and plots and all this stuff. You know, well, this is how we're going to take them out. You know, oh yeah, really? The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. Now, how does the Lord respond in verse 13? Does he look like he's mad or upset or anything about this? Look, the Lord laughs at him. For he sees that his day is coming. Learn to laugh at these fools. There's no reason to get mad at them. Just laugh at them. God does. Why? Because he sees that his day is coming. As long as you're living in your body, you still have a chance. You can grow a brain, get saved, and receive Jesus. Now, you can choose to go to hell if you want, but if you do, it's your choice. Okay? But the point is, hey, God's laughing at you. You're a joke to him. ISIS, you're a joke to God. You know, all these anti-Christian people, you're a joke. God's laughing at you. Okay? He finds it humorous, okay, that you think, you know, shake your fist, you know, your angry fist at the God of the universe. You know, oh, yeah, really? Yeah, yeah. You? You got to be kidding. Verse number 15, what happens to these people? Their sword shall enter their own heart. They'll take themselves out. You see it all the time. You give the devil enough rope, he'll hang himself every single time. Don't worry about it. Now, on the other hand, our responsibility is to pray and intercede. Amen. That's our part. We do our part. We know God will do his. Amen. Okay? He's faithful. Are we faithful to do like what Pastor said, to pray for our leaders, for all in authority? All in authority. Amen. Mm-hmm. All means, last time I checked, all. No exceptions. No special people we like better than others and all this. Okay? Are you listening? Yes. We don't have to agree with them, but we do have to pray for them. Amen. We are commanded to love unlovely people. Amen. I'm not commanded to like you. I'm commanded to love you. Like and love are not the same. Amen. Okay? You may not like me, but you don't have to like me. Amen. I can't imagine why. I'm such a warm guy. You know, can't imagine that, but, you know, let's just suppose for a moment that there are actually people there who don't like me. Well, that's okay. That's all right. You know, you're commanded to love me. Amen. And I'm commanded to love you. That takes us to a whole nother level. Amen. Like the prayer for the people in authority. Listen, don't fight these fights down at the devil's level where he has the advantage. Fight these fights up on our level where we have the advantage. We, meaning the body of Christ, all of us, no matter where we are in the world, what nationality, what race, it doesn't matter. No matter where we are, we have weapons no one else has. Amen. We can take this fight to a place no one else can go. Amen. The military can't go there. The Republicans can't go there. The Democrats can't go there. The independents can't go. Nobody can go there except we, the Christians. We can pull things down. We can raise things up. God will honor our word. We have the authority. Amen. What does 2 Chronicles 7:14 say? If my people who are called by my name shall do this, 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 and this, then I shall hear from heaven and I will heal their land. You don't have to wait for the turkeys out there that don't know Jesus. It's up to the body of Christ. Glory. It's up to us. Amen. Your neighbor is not your enemy. Your enemy is an unseen force and an unseen spirit, and we are the only ones empowered to go into the unseen realm and pull him down. Amen. And destroy his works. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look with me if you would. Again, verse 20. Still in the same psalm. Mm-hmm. The wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, they shall vanish. I love these terms. They shall vanish. Into smoke, they shall vanish away. Amen. You see those vapor smokers out there? You know, that big puff out there, that cloud in front of them? I just feel sorry for them to start with. But the point is, you know, you look at people like that. That's the devil. That's the wicked. He's here 1 minute and he's gone the next. Amen. Bible says there'll be a time prophetically in the future when we'll actually have a window where we can look into hell and we can look and see him down there in the flames, and the remarks being made by the people looking will be, is this the one that was terrifying nations? Is this the one that made the nations quake in fear? This thing? This guy here? This creature here? Hallelujah. Oh, I knew that would happen sooner or later. Hope it wasn't. You're not going to replace this carpet, are you? Just checking. All right, I better drink this quick. All right. Okay, my last passage. Is this helping anybody today? Yeah. All right. Verse number 23. Now, we all know this one. We quote this one a lot. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How many people would be good men and women of God? Amen. Okay, that's us. The steps of good men and women are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall. Anybody made any mistakes here besides me? We all have. We've all made promises. We didn't keep them. We've all stumbled into sin. We've all let our flesh have its way. Okay, all of that. Okay, we've all been there. Though we fall, we shall not be utterly cast down. Why? Because there's blood on a mercy seat. And it's not on a judgment seat, honey. It's on a mercy seat. Thank God it's a mercy seat, not a judgment seat. Because if it was a judgment seat, we're all toast. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. See, Jesus goes to bat for us.
Amen.
Based upon his sacrifice. He looks over at God and says, well, wait a minute. My blood's on that mercy seat. I paid for that sin. And God says, you're right. You did. So I forgive them. Based upon the work you did. See, everything is in Christ. We are who we are in Christ. We're forgiven because of what he did, and we're in him. Amen. It's a whole other teaching for another time. But then, verse number 25. This is the key verse to the whole psalm. This is it right here. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Glory to God. Yep. The key word there, seen. See, he's talking about personal experiences. He's not talking about what he got from Brother Biggs' conference, Sister Satellite, Tommy Tape, or someone else. He got what he got based upon his own experiences. He said, I have been young, now I'm old. See, he wrote this as an old man. This psalm was written at the end of his life. He's kind of summing it all up for the reader. He said, listen, buddy, I've been there, okay? I've been young. And now I'm old. But all through this time, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen it. See, listen, when I went to Bible school back in September of 1979, I was saved in September of 78, went to Bible school, Rhema, 1979. Brother Hagin was my teacher. And I left Rhema in September of 1980 and left for the Philippines with $20 in my pocket and a one-way ticket. No way back to the U.S. I had no money for a round tripper. I just had enough for a one-way. Back then, you could buy one-way tickets. You can't do that now, but you could back then. I left the U.S. with $20 and a one-way ticket and no guarantee that anybody would be at the other side waiting for me. I wrote letters to the ministry that God led me to hook up with initially, but he never answered my letters. By the way, a letter is a little envelope with a stamp on it. In case you don't know what a letter is, you young folks, you know, it's an envelope with something inside, and there's a little stamp on there, and they put it in the mailbox, and it goes places, okay? But I sent letters, and he never answered me. I didn't know if he even knew I was coming. I mean, I'm sitting at the airport in Los Angeles, and I am shaking, man. Fear all over me, cloud of fear behind me. Do I get on this jet? Because I got a one-way ticket, and I got $20, and that's it. And I'm flying to the other side of the world, and I don't even know if anyone is going to be there to meet me. And this fear cloud is there, and I'm shaking, and I'm praying in tongues, you know. And I cried, and the sign, now boarding. They're lining up to get on the jet. And I'm thinking, okay, this is it. Do I get on this plane or not? And I'm calling out to God. Do I get on or do I stay? Yes or no? He said, what did I tell you? Well, you told me to go. Then get on the plane. I don't know how God talks to you, but that's how he talks to me. Get on the plane. I told you to go. Go. In fear and trembling, honey, I got on that jet, and my knees were shaking for 12 hours in that flight. You fly across at night, and I'm looking out the window black. You can't see anything. I'm just looking out the window praying in tongues. What am I doing? And when I landed in the Philippines, you know, they rolled the jet up. They parked it. There was no jetway they parked it, and they rolled stairs. It was a 747 jet. They rolled stairs to the thing, and they opened the door, and you went down onto the tarmac and walked to the little Quonset hut, which was a terminal. But one-third the size of this room. That was it. And down at the end of the staircase, I could see the end of the staircase, and down at the end of the staircase were two Philippine Marines with Uzi submachine guns waiting to go through the carry-on baggage to see if anybody's got any weapons and bombs and plastic explosives and so forth, because the country was under martial law at that time. Marcos was in power. And there were tanks on the street corners, soldiers with guns everywhere, and this is what I'm flying into with $20 and one-way ticket. And I'm looking out the window. I'm thinking, what have I done? Where have I been? And God spoke in that seat. I'll never forget it. One of those rhema moments. He said, you just relax. You are doing what I'm telling you to do. You're in the right place at the right time. And I'll take good care of you. Oh, those words. I'll never forget them. It's like, you know, the fear balloon. Someone punctured it with a pin. All the air left. You know, I'll be okay. Because they're all talking in Filipino. I don't know what they're saying. All the people. They're happy to be home. I'm sitting here all by myself on the other side of the world. No one's there with me. No one can hold my hand. Nothing. God said, I'll take good care of you. Amen. And then 2 weeks later, I met her for the first time. I thought, hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Good things happen to those who wait and who fly on airplanes in the middle of the night to a place they don't know anybody will be there to meet them. But anyway, the point is, hey, I have been young, and now I am older. I'm not old. I've been young, got saved when I was 26. I'm now 66, 40 years. Last September 21st was my 40th birthday in Christ. September 21st, 1978 was the day I got saved. So September 21st, 2018 was my 40th birthday as a Christian, as a child of God, as a soldier in the army of the Lord. 40 years to the day. I have been young. I've seen things. When I first went to Rhema, like I started to say, I sat and I listened to Brother Hagin. I sat on the front row, listened to that man teach every day for 9 months. And all the other teachers that were there, Bob Yandian, Fred Price came through. Kenneth Copeland was there. All the names, you know, that we know so well these days. Okay, they were all there teaching. And I sat there with my notebook. My pen was smoking. I was taking notes as fast as I could. You know, I'm going to be like these guys. I'm going to be like, you know. Okay, because I had no testimonies. I'm just listening to their testimonies. I'm listening to them teach. Okay, then I left with what they put into me. But now, 40 years later, it's not what they've taught me. It's what I've seen. It's what I've seen. We've seen the dead raised. We've been shot at and the bullets missed. We've had the big pen. You know, we've had all of this stuff. We've had the witch doctors. We've had it all. And we're still here. We're still here. They're long gone, but we're still here. I've been young, and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And you will never see yourself forsaken if you hold your ground and continue to preach the word without apology to whoever needs to hear it, including yourself. Yeah. Preach to yourself when you need to. Yeah. David did. David at Ziklag, the Bible says they were trying to kill him because the wives and the sons and daughters were all taken captive, and the soldiers blamed David for it. You know, if we were not on maneuvers with you, we would have been here to defend our family. Now look, the house is burned down and we don't got any insurance and the family's gone and we don't know where they are. It's your fault. And the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. So relax, says the Lord. Understand my word shall not fail. My word shall always be true to you. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. I have ordained and surrounded you with my angels. They are here to take good care of you. They are on assignment for me and for you, and they will not be withdrawn because your work is not yet done. You have many things to do in my name. My church will rise up and be brighter and stronger and sharper than they have ever been in these last days. And you choose to be a part of my frontline fighting force, says the Lord. Don't be a spectator, be a player. Don't be a critic, be a participant. For I will maneuver you into position, and I will use you in great and mighty ways. And your hands will be pregnant with my power. And I will take you to places you thought you'd never go, to do things you thought you'd never do, to preach to people you thought you'd never meet. In my name, you shall go forth without apology for your This is your hour. This is the hour for my church to shine, and to shine. Because I am faithful to uphold you with my law and with my word, says the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put your hands up. Praise the Lord. That's something to shout about. That's something to shout about. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Ha ha. Yes. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo! Yes, yes. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, gamana masandaba. Do you understand? Do you understand, folks? Your best days are ahead of you, not behind you. Do you understand that? Okay. It is not the numbers of people that indicate success. Do you understand that? Listen, God took 12 people and in 2 years covered Asia Minor with 12 people, starting with 12. Okay. We know this church had a lot of more people before, but that's not what success is measured by. It's success measured by where I'm running my race, when I'm supposed to be there, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, your best days are all ahead of you. They are not behind you. Amen. Don't be looking at some church like, well, I need to go there because look at all the people. Listen, he's probably got 5,000 headaches instead of 5,000 people. That's the way big churches are. Okay, a lot of headaches, a lot of issues and so forth. This is a fighting force here. You understand? This is the army within the army. Yes. The special forces. Amen. The elite troopers, the ones that God puts not just on the front lines, drops you behind enemy lines to do covert work for him. Amen. Where the devil can't even recognize what you're doing. He's so stupid. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, don't let the devil tell you he's so smart. He tried to overthrow God. You know, you got to be really stupid to try to overthrow God. Amen. Hallelujah.